Amen. We want to just remember Pastor Lisa. She woke up not feeling well, so we want to keep her in prayer, that God would just strengthen her and just turn back any attack of the enemy and give her victory today. Amen. Amen. So please keep her in prayer. Let's just pray right now. Father, thank you for your servant. God, we lift Lisa up before you today. God, we ask for healing virtue to flow. We pray, God, that you would just give her health and strength and favor today. Minister to her, God, and bless her double, God, for her trouble. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Well, this morning, I'd just like to acknowledge one of our members who has been with us or was with us many years ago. Since then, he went on to be a chaplain in a prison in Texas. And about 7 years ago, he became a captain chaplain in the U.S. Army. So I'd like Captain Chaplain. He told me the right way. Captain Chaplain Ubang to come. And I just have a little something. Come right up here. Just wanted to see that you and your family have a nice lunch today. Bless you. Bless you. He spent 8 months in Kuwait, Iraq, and Syria. Just got back a little over 2 weeks ago. He was actually in the Middle East the same time our church group was in Israel when the war broke out. And so he faced much fire from the enemy. God kept him safe. God's renewing him. And we truly and physically, amen. When he first enrolled, you know, I spent a little time with him this week and just encouraging him and knowing what he had to go through to get to where he is today, all of the training, all of the ecclesiastical hoops he had to jump through. And even with our government, about 7, 8 years ago, I had the FBI come to my office, and I thought my past was catching up to me. No. But they came to do a character reference. It was no joke. They wanted to make sure, and I was one of probably several that they interviewed to make sure he was the right man for the job, and we just appreciate all that God has done in your life. May God continue to bless you. Amen. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do this morning, would you open up to the book of Acts, put your finger in chapter 2, and also open up to Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. It's a little after Psalms and Proverbs. And we just want to look at two passages. I've entitled my message this morning, The Power of Connection. The Power of Connection. How many of you have the Word of God? How many of you know the Word of God is powerful? How many of you know the Word of God can revive you? According to Psalm 19 and 119, the Word of God can renew you. The Word of God can straighten out what's crooked in your life. The Word of God can make you a different person. We uphold the authority of Holy Scripture in this place. We honor the Word of God because God himself said, I honor my... So this morning we want to look at the power of connection. How many of you know that we were made for relationships? There are no lone rangers in the kingdom. There are no islands unto ourselves. And I want to look at the passage. How many of you are in the book of Acts chapter 2? Chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's what we try to do here at Victory. Amen. We want to continue. We want to continue steadfastly in doctrine, that's teaching, in fellowship, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then, say then, Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Go over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon in the Old Testament, in chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. But for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. I have fallen and I can't get up. Verse 11, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. In a three fold cord is not quickly broken. I want to talk to you about the biblical word fellowship. Actually, the Greek word is koinonia. Everyone say koinonia. You're all speaking the Greek language right now. Koinonia. The word means association, community, participation. It is sharing together, partnering of two or more working together for the common good. Again, the word means fellowship, communion, association, and joint participation. This is a beautiful picture of what the church family has called to be, has been called to be. Christ is what connects us. Our new life in Jesus is what connects us in biblical fellowship. And let me just give you 2 points quickly, what that word means. What that word means biblically. You know, we use the word fellowship. Sometimes we just relegate it to going out after church and having a cup of coffee or having a meal. That is not necessary. What makes it fellowship is the joint partnership, is the fellowship that we share in Jesus Christ. How many of you are still there? So two shades of meaning. Number one, it's called alongside to offer assistance. So fellowship is to be called alongside another believer to offer assistance. This was pictured so vividly when Alistair Brownlee, what he did in September of 2016, he was in a triathlon. Triathlon is a grueling, an exercise or a sports event whereby you are tested to your limits. He and his brother were both in this event, and during the race, his brother had considerable medical distress. And so what did Brownlee do? What did Alistair do? As he was ahead in the race and he was going to win the race, what he did was he went back to his brother, put his brother's arm over his shoulder, and he walked to the finish line because he wanted his brother to finish. That is what we are called to do spiritually. Come alongside others to assist them. Another aspect is being united in a common purpose. We're talking about the meaning of biblical fellowship, koinonia, the Greek word, and it carries the meaning of being united in common purpose. It's a team working together with different abilities to win the game or to achieve success. It's putting aside their own agenda to win together. Amen? So I ask you 2 questions this morning. Who are you coming alongside to help run the race of life? If you're a giver this morning, if you're a giver, you're thinking right now, how can I do that for someone else? How can I be a better encourager in the body of Christ? If you're a taker this morning, you're thinking, who is doing that for me? Who is helping me? Hello? Turn to the person next to you, say, are you a giver or are you a taker? Please don't answer that. Another question is, are you doing your part within the church family to ensure the greater vision of Jesus is being fulfilled? If you are doing those 2 things, you are living in biblical fellowship. Can you say amen? Amen. We're talking about the power of connection. If you can just put that slide up. The power of connection. In the beginning, and Adam was in the Garden of Eden. He was in a perfect environment. How many of you know, before sin came, Adam was in a perfect environment. There was no sin, there was no shame, there was no pain, there was no suffering, and there were no problems. God looked down and he still said, it's not good enough. Hello? Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? You know what he said? He said, it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. Something was wrong. You see, you and I were made for relationships, whether you're married or not, whether you're young or you're old, Christian or not. We are all made for relationship. You know when we had the thing that covered the sun, The eclipse, that's what it was. Wasn't it amazing that everyone was talking about it and everyone was outside and everyone, you were talking to strangers. You probably talked to more strangers during the eclipse than you ever did before in one day. Isn't that true? Why? Because man was made for fellowship. That gave people an excuse to talk to one another, to connect with one another, because there is a desire in the heart of man. Why do you think that bar rooms that charge, I don't know, because I don't go to a bar room, but I know they charge 4 to 5 times more for a drink that you could buy yourself and drink it at home? Why? Because mankind is looking for fellowship. They are looking to connect with other people. We were created for fellowship. God says, now I said, this is what God says. He says, you need people in your life. You need people in your life. That's what Ecclesiastes 4 said. 4, 9 to 12, it says, two are better than one. You know, I came across something that was very interesting. Listen to this. California County declared loneliness a public health emergency. This was just recently, in the last year or so. San Mateo County is the first county in the country to declare this type of emergency. It has become the first county in the U.S. to declare loneliness a public health emergency. I want to just read this. This comes after a unanimous vote by the county's board of supervisors. We have 45% of the people find themselves being lonely that suffer from loneliness, the board's vice president told a local news affiliate. They introduced the resolution in hopes it could make a difference in the surging loneliness his county has experienced since the pandemic. He wrote a letter to the California governor asking him to develop a new minister of loneliness. Now, listen, when I Google something, I don't just believe everything that's on, you know, online. How many of you know, don't believe every video you see, right? Don't believe everything that is online. You gotta make sure you do your fact checking. That means you get more credible references. If it's some wacko that's telling you it, skip it, go on to something else. Amen. So I looked this up and listen to this. Listen to what it says. This move follows the lead of our U.S. Surgeon General, who called loneliness and isolation an epidemic in 2023. He said, our epidemic of loneliness and isolation has been an underappreciated public health crisis that has harmed individual and societal health. Our relationships, listen, are a source of healing and well-being, hiding in plain sight. No one can help us to live, one that can help us live healthier, more fulfilled, and more productive lives. He says, given the significant health consequences of loneliness, we must prioritize building social connection the same way we have prioritized other critical health issues such as tobacco, obesity, and substance use disorders. Together, we can build a country that's healthier, more resilient, less lonely, and more connected. Loneliness has both physical and mental effects on one's health. Physically, the consequences of insufficient connection includes 29% increased risk of health disease, 32% increased risk of stroke, 50% increased risk of developing dementia for older adults. He says a lack of social connection also increases the risk of premature death by over 60%. Wow. I just love when educators, when government, when society proves what the Bible says. This is what we need to be preaching. Amen? We need to be preaching the importance of connection and relationship with other people because of the spiritual benefits, but there are also emotional benefits and there are physical benefits. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to this. It says, from a mental standpoint, those who report feeling lonely face more than double the risk of developing depression compared to those who rarely feel isolated. It says that 1 in 4 adults, which translates into 1 billion people, report feeling lonely. This morning, you might feel lonely in this room, but we need to work towards being connected with each other. The Bible talks about the church and uses different metaphors. One of them is the body, the physical body. Our physical body is a wonder of God's creation. But you know how important each part of the body is? Sometimes we take for granted. How about our thumb? How about our big toe? Did you ever break your thumb or your big toe and realize how much it impacts some of the simplest tasks in life? Isn't it true? We take for granted different parts of our body. And we have to understand that God used that as a metaphor to explain the interconnectedness of the church body. That even parts of the body that don't seem too important, every part of the body. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're an important part of the body. You see, church is not something you go to. It's not an event that you attend. Church is a family that is meant for you to be connected to and to be a part of. God wants you to have relationships and connections and fellowship in the body of Christ, which is the family of God. But you know, we have a spiritual enemy, Satan. Another name for Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's another name for the devil, the accuser. He's called the accuser of the brethren. I'm just scanning because I'm looking for some friendly faces, somebody that's saying amen. Some of you that are not just sitting on your blessed assurance. Pastor, I dare you to bless me this morning. You see, we have to understand that the enemy's strategy is to accuse the brethren. Who does he accuse? Before God, but also he whispers in my ear and he whispers in your ear. And what his purpose is to divide and to conquer. There's an Aesop's fable that talks of three bulls for a long time they pastured together. A lion would lay in ambush in the hope of making them his prey, but he was afraid to attack them while they kept together. He succeeded in separating them, and then he attacked them one by one as they grazed alone. The moral of that fable is, in union, there is strength. In union, there is strength. I'm talking about the power of connection this morning. I'm talking about the early church. The Bible says of the early church in Acts chapter 2, it says they continued steadfastly in fellowship, in this biblical koinonia, in this carrying one another's burden, in this also helping others, helping the cause of Christ to go forward and the vision of God to be fulfilled for his church. That kind of fellowship, that kind of koinonia, the Bible says the church was steadfast. The question is, why do you have to be steadfast? Because I want to guarantee something. This is something pastors don't like to say. It's not good promo. It's not something you put on social media. But I want to guarantee you something. You're going to get offended. Amen. Isn't that good news this morning? Praise the Lord. Not at first. When you first come to any church, you are going to think, wow, where was this church all my life? Some of you come to this church and, wow, this church is amazing. And it is. But you will eventually get offended. Why? Because what is the purpose of the church? Jesus said, or the Spirit said, whosoever will, let him come. Hurting people, come. Addicted people, come. Confused people, come. People that are lost, come. People that are sinners, come. Isn't that the message of the gospel? The Spirit said, whosoever will, let him come. But what happens when hurt people come? Hurt people? Come on, we're all hurting people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you might think I'm really spiritual, but I'm hurting. I don't care how many degrees you have. You could have as many degrees as a thermometer. You're still going to hurt You're going to still hurt people. That's human nature. And we have to work through that. We have to, it's not an excuse to hurt people, but you have to work through it. You have to have the grace of God and the character of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit. But see, those characteristics are not developed in isolation. You could develop some skills all alone. You could learn an instrument and you could develop that all alone. Because if you're all alone, left with your own mind, you're going to be more spiritual than everyone else. You're going to be more godly than anybody else. You're going to judge people with a higher standard than you judge yourself. But when you get in fellowship and the glory wears off a little bit, and you begin to see the humanness of other people. You say, well, I've been hurt by the church. Usually when you mean that, it's not the church building that hurt you. It's a person. Amen. Turn to the person next to you. Say, pastor's only trying to help you. You say, I've been hurt. Join the club. We've all been hurt. I've been hurt. You say, I've been hurt. I want to leave the church. I've been hurt. I've wanted to leave the church, and I'm the pastor. Hello? Are you kidding me? So you've been misunderstood. I understand that. I've been misunderstood. You've been hurt, offended. Yes. But that's part of it. We're not living in a perfect world. We're not living in a perfect church. We're not living in a perfect environment. We're learning how to live with one another, how to fellowship with one another. The proverb says, the man of wisdom said, as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. Some of you have the ministry, the sandpaper ministry. You'll get a revelation over lunch. You see, the problem with the church or with Christians, some Christians, is that some Christians are only dating the church. They're not committed to the church. So they treat their relationships in the church or the church, their church relationship is just, you know what, as long as it meets my needs, as long as I enjoy it, as long as they're singing my songs, as long as they're preaching what I want to hear, I'm going to go there. But as soon as the there's a rub, as soon as there's tension, I'm leaving. And so there's no commitment. It's like some human relationships, you know they don't want to say I do. But they want all the benefits. It's like people want the privileges of church membership, but they don't want the commitment of church membership. They want all the blessings, all the provisions. But when it's time for responsibility, pastor, I'm right behind you. Yeah, you're so far behind, I can't even see you. You see, what happens is we're affected. And you know what? We cut back on relationships. We don't have time. We're too busy. But I want you to understand, without meaningful, supportive, accountable relationship, you will suffer in your walk with God. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And, everyone say and. And love your neighbor as yourself. Imagine what Jesus said. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Why? We don't have a problem loving ourselves. Hello? If we could only love our neighbor as we love ourselves, if we're going to be honest, we're not living up to that standard. That's a tall order, to love your neighbor as yourself. As soon as you hurt me, you're out. As soon as you don't do what I want, you're out. I'm not saying me, I'm saying you. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about biblical koinonia. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Imagine, there were people who were cutting out of church back then, as is the manner of some. Do not forsake the assembly, but all the more as you see the day approaching. Brothers and sisters, we need to hang together. Brothers and sisters, we need to come together. We need the encouragement that comes from the body when the body's together. Some people, I know they've been offended. Some people, I know they've stopped. I was just talking to someone from a friend of mine who was ministering to someone from another church, and they got offended. They haven't been in church in years. Are you going to let what people say or do keep you from fellowship? Are you going to let it keep you from the kingdom? You see, not just Sundays. Part of my challenge to you is to get involved in a life group. Is get involved in, I don't know about you, but we have such interaction. It's talking, it's sharing, it's powerful. We have a great turnout on Wednesday night. We have a great children's ministry. We have a great youth ministry. We have youth pastors that pour their life, children's ministers that pour their life out. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that for lightly. Appreciate what you have. Amen? What's the difference between appreciate and depreciation? You know what depreciation is. When you drive a new car out of a lot, that's called depreciation. What you paid for it, as soon as you drive it out, it depreciated in value. So what does it mean to appreciate someone? To add value to them. Now again, if you're a giver, you're saying, how can I do that for someone else? If you're a taker, you're thinking, who's adding value to me? Come on, there's four types of people in the world. Those who add, those who subtract, those who multiply, and those who divide. That's a sermon in and of itself. Somebody should have just said amen right there. Some of you are only occasional and you pick and choose what you want. That's not biblical fellowship. We love you, we welcome you, but it's time to grow up. Turn to the person next to you. You got to help me this morning. Tell them, grow up. It is time to grow up. In the day and age we're living in, if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. If we don't join together, we're going to be taken away by false doctrine. We're going to be taken away by sensationalism and hype on YouTube and social media. We're going to be taken away and divided. You know, it's so important that we understand that we are a family, that we're a body. Hello? A friend of mine pastors near a lot of military, and he told me, he says, my military and Chaplain, Captain, you will agree with this, I'm sure. You know, and in the military, there's all different nationalities. There's all different religions. He says, but when they fight, they understand they're a unit. They understand. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what religion they are. It doesn't matter what persuasion they are. When they're fighting, they're a unit. They're together. You and I need to fight together and not fight among ourselves. Turn to the person next to you and say, I hope he's not talking to you. This morning, make a commitment. No more church hopping. No more eating the bread and leave. No more running when it's difficult. How many of you are still with me as I bring this to a close? Let's go back to Ecclesiastes, and I'm just going to close. I'm just going to close with this word this morning, Ecclesiastes. These four verses show the great value of human relationships, that two are better than one. Living and working together is a great advantage to living and working alone. Look at these four, I'm just going to name them quickly. Four benefits to working or to having quality human relationships, having fellowship, productivity. The Bible says they have a good reward for their labor. There's more productivity. We can do more together than we can do apart. A word that was used many times years ago, it's probably still used, the word synergy, meaning that the sum total of the parts are greater than the individual parts. We're greater together than we are separate. We can do more together than we can do separate. Can someone say amen? Productivity. Number two, help in need. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, you who are spiritual, if someone is overtaken in a fault, you minister to him. You help him, considering your own selves, that you have weaknesses, basically. But the Bible says that we that are spiritual, we pick people up. If someone's fallen, we pick them up. If someone is fallen because of their own folly, we don't gloat over it. We don't tell them, I told you so. We pick them up, and then we teach them how to walk right, how to live right. Amen? We hold people accountable. It's important. It's critical that we understand this. There's productivity. There's help in need. But there's also comfort in life. They will keep each other warm. Amen. We want our church to be a place where cold, lifeless people could be warmed, could be loved back to life in Jesus' name. And it said, two can withstand. There's safety in security. There is safety and there is security together. It's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. Amen. I like to say this. I've said it many times. A joy shared is twice the joy. A sorrow shared is half the sorrow. Isn't that true? When something good happens in your life, you want to share it with somebody else. When you share it with them, it's double the joy. A sorrow shared is half the sorrow. Someone once said, true friends walk in when everyone else walks out. Hello? You could tell your true friends when you're in a difficult space, when people are talking about you. Your true friend walks in when others are walking out. Amen? Someone said, your friends are God's way of apologizing for your family. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says that Jesus is that friend. And if you know him, we're called to join in fellowship. Would you stand together with me this morning? I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? If you can just bow your heads in a word of prayer, I want to ask if you're coming here this morning, maybe you're new, maybe you've come in the past, maybe you're coming back, we welcome you. The first step to spiritual growth, the first step to fellowship is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That means that you acknowledge that you're a sinner. It means that you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that you make that confession with your mouth. You believe that he died, he rose again, and that he's your Lord and your Savior. Would you just begin to pray? And I'm going to ask if there's one or two, or maybe there's some that need to recommit their life to Jesus. We need to have fellowship with the Father, John the Apostle said, but we also have to have fellowship with one another. Before we can have communion with each other, we have to have communion with God. So this morning, is there anyone here would just say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ this morning. Just quickly raise your hand. If there's someone here this morning, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else, you would acknowledge that you need Jesus this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else, two have raised their hand. God bless you. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Heaven's rejoicing. The church ought to rejoice. Amen. Amen. I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Can we all pray together with those who have raised their hand? The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, we will be saved. This morning, salvation is accepting the free gift of God, the forgiveness of our sins, that was made possible through a God who loved us so much to send his son to the cross to die for our sins. Nobody on planet Earth has ever, will ever, could ever die for our sins and be the perfect sacrifice, a holy sacrifice that you and I can be reconciled to God. All of us are sinners. All of us are sinners. There's none righteous. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God has provided a way for us to be made righteous through Christ. So would you pray this prayer? Mean it in your heart. Can we all pray together? Dear God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me today. Come into my life. Change my life. I acknowledge you as my Savior. And I give my life to you as my Lord. I believe I'll never be the same again. Today is a new beginning, a beginning of fellowship with you, God, and also with other people. In Jesus' name, amen.